So you are a pharmacist, a lawyer, a mother, a wife, a host of a podcast, and now you are an author. Very accomplished person. Like, how would you describe yourself in a nutshell to someone meeting you for the first time?
Could be a jack of all trades and master of none. I would say I have at the core a real interest and drive to help people find more peace in their lives. So I would say, you know, that was one of the bents in my work as a family lawyer. You know, I was working with people to try to bring them more peace and order with all the arrangements that needed to happen after divorce. And as a mediator, I help parents in particular to bring more peace into the all the decisions they have to make. And yeah, that's what really we're working for at the Smart Family Podcast as well. You know, how to meet some of the challenges of being married and having kids so that people can love being home.
And it wasn't from the very beginning in your career as a lawyer that you chose family law and specifically divorce law?
It wasn't from the beginning, Lisa. I had practiced as a health lawyer for many years and then made a transition for the last several years. So it's not that I wasn't interested in it before, but I also do have a background as a pharmacist. And so working in hospitals and combining the health side of my training with the law side made sense. And I loved my work in the hospitals, both at RVH and Soldiers. But then I got to the point where I was really interested in collaborative law and helping people through the divorce process. And so, yeah, that's the transition I made.
And you've written a book now called Before You Split. It caught my eye because months into the first lockdown in North America, we started seeing articles pop up and people are getting divorced and they're nicknaming it COVID divorce. And the way people talk about it is almost lightly, like, oh, ha, ha, COVID divorce. But as you know, as someone who's worked as a divorce lawyer, it's a serious thing and it causes a lot of heartache and pain for the people involved. I wanted to get your perspective on whether you like why you wrote this book now and what you think about this COVID divorce that everyone's talking about.
Yeah, my book writing process started long before any of this was even on our radar screens. I think that the first mention of it was 2017, and then the book writing process took about 2.5 years. And so COVID divorce, yeah, is, I think it's been happening because you know, when you drain all the water out of a pond, you see all the garbage at the bottom. You know, I think being in closer quarters has just made us see each other's faults and weaknesses more clearly. But at the same time, we're not sure what the effect is on the divorce rate. There's some conflicting info, whether it's gone up, whether it's gone down. Certainly calls to lawyers' offices have gone up. But the underlying issue, I think, is that there is conflict, you know, that we can see the problems in greater relief. They're up close and center when we're in such close quarters with each other. What I'd caution people to do is really take that decision to split slowly, because there are some really serious implications, and you don't know until you've actually made the decision to divorce and get to the other side what your life is going to look like. And some of the people I worked with were disappointed with what they found, and so that's why I wanted to write a book to show people the kinds of things they need to think about before going ahead and making that decision to split.
In your book, you talk a lot about the problems and a different way to view them, just instead of just seeing them as this is my problem and the way to get out of it is to split. And you're very open in your book about the problems in your marriage and the tough time that you went through.
Mm-hmm.
What made you, it's very raw and honest to put that out in the public.
It is. It is. There were times when I was writing this book and shuddering at the same time. But I wanted to be honest because what people may not know about me is that I'm also married to a pastor, and sometimes people think, oh, you're a pastor's wife, you guys don't really know what it's like. And what I'd say is, yeah, we actually do know what it's like to struggle through conflict, to feel like we're opponents, you know, to be in the place of feeling resentment and bitterness and, you know, wondering where our love went and whether it would ever come back again. So I am open and honest about those things because, you know, there are ways that you can grow closer, even if you're in that place of wondering, you know, have I signed up for a lifetime of misery, you know, and how are we ever going to get through this? I want to give people hope that there is a way through. But there are some problems you have to look at more closely and have an attitude of wanting more self-awareness and being teachable in some areas that maybe you need to change.
One of the things that you say about looking at the problems in our marriage is to try and figure out what you call the fictions we tell ourselves. Could you tell me more about what you mean by the fictions?
Yes. Well, one angle is something I've seen so commonly between couples, and it's the problem of like looking at your circumstances and your spouse through a victim story or victim narrative that's running on in the background. And here I'm not talking about safety issues. I'm not using the word victim in the sense that you would use it for criminal law matters or assault. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is just our human tendency to blame. And so, like, for example, when Carrie and I would try to resolve our conflict, I had this victim narrative that I was, that Carrie was being too aggressive, and not physically aggressive, but he, by his personality, he tends to drive after a solution to a problem, you know, and keep going until you get there. But my wiring is different, and I need more time and space. And so I used to say, well, I'm the one here who's fighting for peace. But, you know, when you have a victim, pair of victim story glasses on, you know, it's like putting on glasses that are wrong for you, that are the wrong prescription. And as a result, all you can see are blurry images, and you don't see the nuances and the details. And what I wasn't seeing with my victim story narrative glasses on was that, yes, maybe I was trying to keep the peace, but I was also disengaging. And sometimes I was also stonewalling him. And so it's really difficult to get through conflict if you've got those things going on. So for as long as I would blame Carrie for our lack of peace, I wasn't looking at my role in it. And I needed to take those victim story glasses off and start to be honest about the ways I was showing up when we were trying to resolve conflict.
One of the things that stood out in the book was when you said that emotions in a marriage, so when people are really upset and messy, is actually a sign that you're still invested at some level, as opposed to people that you saw who basically hadn't spoken in years and just wanted to make the divorce official.
Yes, I do mention that because I think it's an important thing to be aware of. I mean, Carrie and I had a lot of negative emotions around our relationship when we were stuck in the dark days of our marriage. But what I like to point out is that the opposite of love isn't really hate, it's indifference. You know, it's this feeling that the other person is basically disposable. You just, you know, have really a nothingness there. And it is, as much as people struggle with resentment and bitterness, I do believe that it's a sign that, you know, there's still that anger, you know, we have a natural wiring to experience anger when a relationship that's important to us is threatened. And so if those negative emotions are there, it doesn't mean that you can't find your way back to love and a feeling of having each other's backs. It's just a process.
Would you say that it's worth it to try and save a marriage that a relationship that really seems difficult?
Well, I can just say from our personal experience that Carrie and I were on the cusp of really deciding what we were going to do with the future of our marriage. You know, we even had that conversation about whether is this what the end looks like after we had one huge argument one night. And is it possible? I have to say it is. And not only that, I had no idea what I would have been walking away from if we'd made that decision. Because now, after working through, yes, we had many problems. We had to work through forgiving each other. We had to become better at noticing and responding to each other's emotions. We had to get some better peacemaking skills. And, you know, some of these are things that I write about. But on the other side, like, wow, we both agree right now that our marriage is thriving, and we had no idea what we would have been walking away from. We're just very grateful that we didn't walk away. And so, you know, I've had people who came back to me in my law practice and said, if I'd only known then what I know now, I would have tried harder to save my marriage. And so what I aim to do through my writing is to show people some different practical solutions. You know, maybe they would meet someone's need and also help them turn the corner in their marriage. That's what I'm really hoping for.
In the book, you write that we have three choices: to split, survive, just survive the marriage, or have a marriage that is thriving. And I know the book is called Before You Split, and so people might think, like, this is a book I should pick up when my marriage is in trouble. But reading it, I thought it would actually be a really good book for anyone who's, like, getting married. Because I feel like everyone's marriage goes through these tough things, and the advice that you give is really helpful, even from just the beginning of a marriage, before it hits a crisis.
It's so funny that you say that, Lisa, because I've had other early readers who have said the same thing. And yeah, I do talk about the three options, as you mentioned, the split, survive, and save, because I think people often say, well, should I stay or should I go? Mm-hmm. And when we were in our struggling days, that's how I thought of it too. But now I think it's helpful to realize that there are three options, and that, you know, splitting is one. Surviving really is staying together, but with your emotions disconnected. And saving is where you've stayed together, your relationship is loving, and you're both satisfied. And so the surviving part of it is, I think, clarifying. It helps people understand where they're at. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, it's the marriages where people are just surviving that are at risk of somebody eventually just having the pain of not having a close connection in this vital relationship. You know, that pain sometimes leaks out in unhealthy ways, either through addictions or mental health problems or, you know, shopping too much, spending too much, whatever it is. And if people realize that they're at that place in their marriage, I would say don't panic. You're better off to know. But there are some specific ways that you can change how you relate to each other to start building that bond again.
I find your book very helpful. Just me as a person married for 11 years, you know, reading the book going, yeah, you know, I really am kind of stubborn when it comes to apologizing. I should probably work on that.
Yeah, so, you're not the only one.
I am. I know that our church did a thing on the Enneagram recently, and so I was reading about it as well. And I was wondering if you would let me guess your Enneagram.
Yes. So, yeah, you want to guess it? Go ahead.
I was thinking that maybe you're a one.
Oh, that is a good guess.
But not right?
No, I am not a one.
Okay.
Do you want to guess again?
What was my other one that I was thinking? Maybe a three.
That's a unique guess. I have never had anyone guess me as a three.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I don't know all of them well. I know mostly my number and my husband's number more, but yeah, I don't know otherwise. I would say probably not a seven.
Yes, I'm not a seven. That's and I, you know, there's part of me that just wishes. I wish I was a seven, man. But at least, well, I've got a seven in my family. Actually, I'm surrounded by sevens in my family. Yes.
I hear people say all the time, "I wish I was a seven," and I'm like, I so would never want to be a seven. I am an Enneagram one, and I am an introvert. And I'm just like looking at a seven, I feel exhausted. Like, no, thank you.
Actually, you know, if I had to pick one, maybe it would be a nine. I think, you know, a nine would be perfectly wired for the kind of work that I tend to gravitate toward. But I am a five. And so as a five, you know, putting a book out in the public realm was definitely a challenge. Fives tend to be quite comfortable being private, and that definitely is my wiring. But I, you know, I got to the point where I just felt that there were these messages that I really wanted other couples to hear, and so that was my driving force for, you know, for writing and for the podcast. You know, I really do want people to have strategies to love being home.
Toni Newhoff, thank you so much for joining me. And just before we go, could you give me just a summary of why you wrote the book Before You Split? Just like the main thing that you would want people to know.
Well, Lisa, I wrote it for the couple who is really struggling at that place where not sure whether to stay, whether to go. I wanted to draw in the experience I've had as a divorce attorney to help that person who's really struggling to see what their options are more clearly, and also to share some of the experiences that Carrie and I had and some of the practical solutions that helped us out of those dark days in our marriage to a marriage that we would both say is thriving right now.